This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 23rd of January 2010, and today I'm talking to Dave Darby and Neil Foster, two of the men behind The Sovereign Independent, the truth movement's alternative newspaper in Ireland. Dave Darby and Neil Foster, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Well, let's get started today by talking about yourselves and your work. So tell us about The Sovereign Independent and what kind of information it contains and how you got started with it. And first, let's hear from Dave Darby.
Well, really, The Sovereign Independent has been much needed for a long time. It's what we would term as a truth newspaper. The idea came about a year ago, I suppose nearly a year ago. It's just an idea that came into my head, and I'll put it to a few of the, some of the other groups around Ireland, some of the truth groups, and basically a few people took it on and we decided to sort of go ahead with it. So we started looking, you know, for articles, writing articles for it. Now, it was during the run-up to the Lisbon referendum, and that's why The Sovereign Independent came about in the first place, to actually wake people up as to what the Lisbon Treaty actually really was. Because as we know, you know, the mainstream media aren't giving people that information. So it was an idea. Like, people were creating leaflets and creating posters, and which is all brilliant stuff. But it was another idea which came along, and like I say, we made it happen. Quite a few people from around the country actually made it happen. So it was a great collaborative effort amongst people for the Lisbon referendum, and I believe that we woke up an awful lot of people.
Excellent. Yeah, that's exactly what I heard as well. And Neil Foster, how about yourself?
I wasn't involved in the first issue as such. Somebody in Dublin contacted me to say that I might be interested, and just purely by coincidence, Dave lived 10 miles from me. So I got in touch with Dave and ended up delivering thousands of copies around the country.
Excellent. Well, tell us about that first edition of the paper. What was the process like, and what kind of response did it generate?
You'll have to go to Dave for that one.
Yeah, well, basically, it was a real learning curve, as you can imagine. I'd been designing websites for a number of years, but I'd never actually created anything in print at all. I've certainly never done a newspaper before. So it was just I suppose it was a sort of pie-in-the-sky idea to start with. Well, wouldn't a newspaper be a great idea? But when I put it out to people and we had a lot of interest and people wanted to get involved in actually creating a newspaper, then that's when we had to get stuck in. And so basically I had to do a fair amount of research as to as far as how to put a newspaper together, the software that's available and what have you, you know. So it's nothing that I'd done before, nothing that any of the other lads had done before, really, you know. So we were sort of really wandering around to start with. We were wandering around like men in the dark, you know. But it all came together. We had a lot of support from people all over the country, a lot of, even ex-MEPs we had support from, you know. So we had a lot of offers for people, you know, people were sending in different articles and what have you, you know. So straight away it took on a life of its own. So it sort of took care of itself. I mean, and I personally was put into a position where I was forced to have to make this happen. Obviously it took everybody to make it happen, but you know, like when you're getting so much good feedback, you're getting so much support, you're getting so much, you know, like for this newspaper, that it just has to happen. So it took on a life of its own. It's a collaborative effort. It's not just a small group of people. Actually, there's a much larger group of people. You know, people would write into the newspaper with different articles and experiences. So really, it was, we did drop ourselves in at the deep end. It didn't look that way at the beginning, but when we started the paper and we got the idea out there, then suddenly it had to come together. And miraculously, it did. Because we've got, a lot of talents, where people, you know, like we work together with people from Cork, people from Dublin, so all over the country, and all these talents have really sort of been pulled together in a way to actually make this paper possible. And some people believe it's a miracle that it came out, because as you can imagine, to start with, there are many people that, you know, had doubts and said, "Oh, you'll never do it, you'll never do it," but we done it, and we put out nearly 400,000 copies across Ireland.
Excellent. Well, very exciting to hear. But it is a bit of a counterintuitive idea in this online age to be working in print. So what was the impetus behind the idea of doing something, a newspaper in print rather than something online?
There's something about a newspaper, isn't there? You know, people like newspapers. That's why we still have them. You know, that's why you can still go out and buy The Sun and The Mirror and all of those papers. People still like newspapers. They still like print. Now, when people want to, say, wake people up, you know, expose scandals and what have you, the first thing that comes to mind is a website. Like, we'll do a website, you know, exposing this or explaining that, which is great. We need websites, okay? In this country, there really wasn't something where maybe people who haven't got access to the internet, you know, like have got access to this information. In a way, the fact that, you know, like the truth movement really is focusing more on the web than anything else is sort of excluding people that haven't got the internet. We can't assume that everyone has got the internet. So again, the newspaper, you know, is another avenue for putting out that information. And in actual fact, in future times, as we know, things are going to get pretty bad. In future times, when the internet possibly may not be available anymore, okay, the newspapers will still be there. We've got hundreds of thousands of newspapers out there in circulation. So, you know, they can shut down all the servers, they can shut down, but they're not going to get 370,000 copies of the Sovereign Independent out of circulation. So that's why we believed it was something that was going to be enduring. It's going to endure through the bad times. And that's basically it, really. And everyone felt the same way, that it's an innovative idea, even though it's an age-old idea, papers. It's actually an innovative idea on top of what we already have. In England, we have a paper called the UK Column. And I think there's similar papers in various other countries, but we never had one in Ireland. So, you know, we decided to take the plunge, and it's so far it's proved a huge success.
So just to be clear, the 370,000 figure refers to what exactly?
The amount of papers that we had distributed. I think it was 370,000. As the amount that we actually had printed and distributed of the first edition of the newspaper.
That is an incredible, that's a staggering number, considering it's what the population of Ireland is, 6 million?
4.2 million. Yeah. 4.2 million. So there's actually only 1.5 million households in Ireland. So 370,000 is quite a big chunk of that.
Absolutely so. Incredible. Well, tell us what it is that you guys are doing specifically on the paper. How about you, Neil?
Well, I've got involved in writing a few articles and editing, that kind of thing, and trying to learn the program that we're using to put it together, which is not my forte exactly, but I'll give it a go anyway.
I think Neil's sort of really, you know, sort of like underestimating himself. I mean, he's been a huge boost. He's came on board, and you know, it's
I'm good at annoying the media.
I consider him to be a co-editor now, really. I mean, you know, like, but basically we're sort of like, I was the main editor of the newspaper. Obviously, I learned the programming, and you know, I became the main editor. We've got a lot of people that are editing, a lot of people that are you know, working on graphics. I do graphic work as well. You know, people working on graphics and what have you. So we do have a good team of people, and we need that good team. It can't be down to one person. It would never happen. So I suppose I'm an editor. Neil's an editor. And you know, that's just the way that me and Neil work together. We have a lot of people, especially in Dublin. There's a few people that are, I suppose you could call them investigative journalists, if you like. They do a lot of hunting around for information and what have you. So we have a lot of journalism involved. And we actually have journalists involved in the newspaper who were involved with other national newspapers. I won't mention any names, but you know, mainstream newspapers, so they've fairly been around the block. So you know, we've got a good team of people. So really, like, my part in it, you know, is become, I won't say it's become sort of like minimum, but at the start, when I first put the idea of the newspaper out there, now we've got like a big range of talents, and I'm just part of that. I'm proud to be part of that, but you know, it's working out well. It's naturally fusing together. Like I say, we've got Neil come on board, and he's got great talents. You know, his level of English is very good. So
even with the accent.
Even with the accent, yeah. I didn't want to say that myself. But but yeah, you know, so it's... you know, we've got a lot of respect for each other. There's no, I mean, we're not a company or anything. We don't have a boss or anything like that. You know, but we do have direction, and we talk a lot. We're very transparent with each other, and we're very amicable in the way that we work together. There's a lot of give and take. There's no egos. There's no jealousy. It just seems to be working out that way. And you know, I don't know whether you'd call it divine or spiritual or whatever, but it feels like it was meant to be, and it's working in the right way. So.
We're all on board with the same message, really, and that's the gelling factor, if you like.
Yeah,
I guess so. It sounds like quite a collaborative effort. So, who are some of the groups that are involved in this then?
One of the main groups, but basically that really kicked the thing off, was a group who are associated with a website called OneWorldScam.com. Okay, and now all of the members of OneWorldScam, this is three of them, who but basically sort of like came together with me, and they are still the backbone of the Sovereign Independent. Okay, now we have people that are associated with wiseupjournal.com, who have been brilliantly, I mean, that's a great website anyway, Wise Up Journal, and they have been hugely supportive with providing us with articles and extra proofreading and what have you. We have InfoWars Ireland, who are based in Galway, and they've been you know, like a huge support for the newspaper. And we have refuseresist.com. You know, they're also heavily involved in the newspaper. So we do have these groups that are, there are, see, there's a lot of truth groups around Ireland like there is everywhere else, okay? But, you know, there wasn't as much cohesion as what there should be, you know? You know, a lot of groups didn't know what other groups are doing or even heard of other groups. This is what I found. But I feel now, you know, like we've got common, I mean, we all had a common goal anyway. But, you know, as time is moving on and we're seeing the agendas taking place on the news and everything like that, you know, we all seem to be gelling together a little bit more and actually supporting each other, helping each other out. And like I say, we're getting support for the Sovereign Independent from all over the country. And, you know, it's just naturally working out. Everyone is happy to contribute, and everyone is happy with the results. And, you know, so far, you know, I know we've only had one issue out, but it was a big issue. So far, we've had no glitches, you know, and we haven't had any real problems, you know, as far as people working together and working in conjunction with each other. Everything seems to have gelled very well.
I mean, to give an idea of the power of the first edition, I was on a local radio station the other day there, how shall I put it, attacking a Green party member. And after 2 or 3 hours after the show, I got a call from a guy 150 miles away from where I live who had listened to the show and thought I'd done a good job, and he started talking to me. He was a 70-year-old gentleman. And we got talking, and he mentioned the newspaper, and then he mentioned Dave, who'd met. It's just... and these things seem to be happening. People keep cropping up and saying, you know, oh yeah, I saw that paper, this. And there's people all over the country who have got it and read it and appreciated it.
Yeah. The amount of emails that we got in.
Sorry, and they're asking for the second edition. They want another edition. So that's our job, I suppose.
That is absolutely exciting to hear, and it's good to know that the word is getting out. So speaking of the second edition, when can people expect that to come out?
Okay, well, we've decided that it's going to be 2 weeks from today. That's when the release is actually going to be, okay? Which is, I'm terrible for dates.
6th of February.
6th of February.
Okay,
that's going to be the release date.
And what kind of content can people expect in this edition?
Well, obviously there's an awful lot going on at the moment. So there's a lot of issues. We have the, you know, the underpants bomber, we have the swine flu vaccinations, we have everything like that. So there's a lot of issues which people are confused about at the moment, and we hope to straighten them out on those issues. You know, climate gate and what have you. So we're going to be covering climate gate. We're going to be covering like the vaccinations. We're obviously going to cover the economy. Okay, there's a few very, very good articles, very informative and educational articles about the economy, again, how it works and, you know, what's happening now. So we were going to be possibly touching on 9/11 a little bit, but, you know, the time is not right at the moment. We've got so much on at the moment that, you know, stuff that's going on that, you know, we're going to be covering more or less what you're seeing in the mainstream news, even, because you've got like the earthquake in Haiti and what have you, you know. So we're going to be really covering current issues, okay, but from the standpoint of truth, if you know what I'm saying.
So they've just announced here that they're extending the program for the swine flu vaccine, regardless of the fact that it's non-existent, and the they're introducing the HPV vaccine at the same time. It's just, you know, people need to understand that these things aren't going to do their health any good.
Yeah.
And then be told the truth.
Yeah.
So how much time... Please, go ahead.
The system is very fragmented, isn't it? I mean, like, as the whole system is falling to pieces, you know, people are getting despondent. We know all that. You know, people don't want to look at it. There's all these little catastrophes happening here, happening there, and it's very easy to join the dots. And it's easy for us to say, you know, but people out there in the world, you know, they're in confusion. I don't know what's going on. Okay, they're apathetic. They're willfully ignorant as well, you know. So what we aim to do with this newspaper is to put all those issues there in front of them, okay. And the aim is, at the end of reading the paper, or even just some of the paper, they will see clearly that there's a global agenda in front of them. Okay, so this is the general aim of the paper. The first issue, like I say, was focusing more on the Lisbon Treaty more than anything else, okay. But, you know, now we need to expand now, because obviously there's global things going on. We have the Copenhagen Treaty has been talked about. We've had a world government framework being set up. You know, we've got globalization happening, especially this year. Okay, we've got globalism, we've got global that, we've got global currency, we've got the dollar collapsing and everything. So really, these things are dead cert, they're going to happen. Okay, and we feel that it's our responsibility, our moral responsibility, really, to sort of raise awareness of this to people. So this newspaper, the aim is to do that for them, and to put them onto other sources as well. We just want to open up a sort of like a world of free thinking among people, you know. So hopefully the paper will do that.
So I imagine there's a bit of a lag time between getting an issue all edited and laid out and delivering it to the printers and it getting printed and then distributing it. So I guess there has to be some, balance when you're taking into account what type of content to include in an issue about stories that are not just about today specifically, but can, I guess, be safely read even weeks from today and still have relevance. So what kind of criteria do you use for deciding what sort of content should go in the paper?
Do you want to answer that, Dave, or will I?
You go for that, Neil.
It's very difficult, especially when you set yourself, well, I suppose if you set yourself a deadline, then you can only report the stories up to that day. But there's so much happening that you find yourself maybe deciding on one article and then having to get rid of it because something else has happened in the meantime. And yeah, that takes... you know, priority over the article you've had to discard. So you either add more pages and make it more costly, or you just have to limit it to what's most relevant, I suppose, at the time, and what would appear more relevant to the public. Not maybe necessarily something historical, maybe something that's happening to them right now.
Yeah, I believe as we know, the global agenda is a massive, massive, massive thing. And when we first wake up, and we all remember when we really woke up, you know, like, it's a whole world of relearning, isn't it? You know, like, you have to look at the world from a totally different perspective. And there's not much in this world that is honest, and there's not much in this world that we're told the truth about. Okay, so there's a lot of deprogramming, isn't there? We know how long it takes to really get to grips of everything that's going on, to understand the agendas and what we can do about it, and so forth. So we've got a massive ocean of information that we could put out to people, but we have to actually restrain ourselves. Okay, you know, we have to be very careful that we're not putting too much in and putting too much on top of people, too much learning at one time, you know. And we have to look at what's relevant as well as, you know, what isn't directly relevant. And when we've got so many issues like today that are relevant, obviously the majority of the paper is going to be today's issues. But we have historic articles in there. We have articles, obviously, regarding, you know, like informational articles like the Bilderberg Group and what have you, you know, an introduction to the Bilderberg Group, so that people know what these institutions are, these global institutions. So, you know, it's a sort of broad spectrum, really, of subjects that we deal with.
I think we don't want to frighten people too much.
No, that's true.
Right, exactly. Well, this is such an exciting idea, because it is penetrating into that that section of society, that segment that won't be looking at this stuff online, or aren't able to look at this online, but will be having this delivered to their door. That's an incredible thing to think about. So how many pages are we talking about for this second issue?
I think that's up in the air at the moment, is it? We're on 2024?
It could be either 20 or 24, yeah. The first edition was a 16-page paper, which in itself was quite a, quite an achievement, you know, for a first paper. But this one, you know, we've got so much information. Again, we could make a 60-page paper if we wanted to, with the amount of information that's out there. But again, you know, we want to do it right. We don't want to, you know, sometimes less is more as well, isn't it? You know, you don't want to be giving them a 60-page paper all about the New World Order. So, you know.
I would do a 60-page paper if I could get some backing from all these oil companies I'm supposed to have connections with when I start playing about.
Oh, yeah. So basically, you know, we have to restrain ourselves to an extent as well. I mean, there's sometimes we've written articles, or, you know, people have donated articles to the newspaper and we've looked at it and it's looked good, and then, you know, maybe there's been a you know, articles that are sort of like of more importance or more relevance, you know. So we've had to chop and change quite a lot. We've actually got a lot of material for a couple more papers if we really, really, really wanted. So, you know, we've got a lot to choose from. So that's where, you know, like, we have to be very careful and we have to be very, very collaborative. We have a lot of proofreading done by different people. When the paper is actually complete in a few days' time, it will be proofread by a lot of people. So, you know, it is a long process. It is a big process. But because none of us are professionals, we're all, you know, having to learn all of this as we go along.
Well, that's, I guess, the sign.
Sorry, on you go.
Please go ahead.
I was just going to say, talking about the proofreading, I believe Dave's got a contact who's going to read through it for its legal content and make sure we're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, because it's all very important. I mean, you know, like, it's very different. See, one of the most important things which we'd obviously we, you know, like, we've had to appreciate when putting together a newspaper, a printed publication, it's very different from the web. You know, you can use, you know, people will use different people's work on their websites and that. And if anyone complained, copyright or whatever, you can remove the image or remove. But when you've got like hundreds of thousands of copies of a newspaper out in circulation, you know, you can't be having copyrighted material in there, you know. So you can't be having, you know, legal inaccuracies in there. You can't have historical inaccuracies in there, you know, because it's a truth newspaper. So there is a very well-known legal person in Ireland who will be proofreading the paper at the end of it. He's you know, works with some top solicitors. They'll be actually reading through the paper to make sure that it is all accurate. Last time they'd done it with the first, you know, the first issue, they went through it with a fine tooth comb. As a result of that, we've got hundreds and hundreds of emails. The vast majority of the emails were people saying what brilliant information it was. We only had maybe a handful of nasty emails we're always going to get. But there's not one of those handful that could point at anything in that paper to refute it. Okay, so that was the result. So this is where the work comes into it. It's not just throwing together a paper, getting it printed and getting it sent out. You know, I'm sure most of people appreciate that. There's a lot of steps towards it, and you have to think about libel. You have to think about a lot of things when you're putting printed publications out into circulation. So that is something that we're very, very mindful of.
Absolutely. Well, I guess it's a sign of the alternative grassroots media that this newspaper is, that it's not a bunch of professionals who have big legal departments working on this. It's mostly a volunteer type effort. So it's important for people to understand that and to support the work that you guys are doing. But in talking about the alternative media and its power in reshaping or expanding the political debate, what do you think is a role that a paper like the Sovereign Independent can play in the political life of a nation like Ireland, and what motivates you to do this work?
Scott, do you want to go for that, Neil?
You go first, I'll think about it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the main thing about our newspaper is we're totally non-partisan. Okay, I'll just cover that to start with. When I say we're non-religious, I don't mean we're atheists, but we don't take any particular religious view, okay? And we're also non-political. We do not believe in the left and right paradigm, okay? So basically that comes across in the newspaper. We are not partisan in any way. So having said that, the newspaper itself now is intended to do two or three different things, I suppose. The main thing, obviously, is to expose what's going on to people, okay, to educate people about what's going on, educate people as to what their rights are and what have you, okay? It's actually from the people, for the people. Might sound a bit tacky, but that's what the newspaper is. Basically, we want to wake people up. We want to wake the people of Ireland up, the people of the world up, okay? And that's what this newspaper is going to do. And when people wake up and to the truth and they know what's going on, then, you know, people will be able to make some changes, okay? As far as the political side of things is concerned, obviously, we know that all of the political parties are aware of this newspaper. Okay, they know what we're putting out to people. Not one of them has come back to us and tried to accuse us of anything. Okay, but nevertheless, you know, like they know people are being woken up, and we hope that the politicians of this country do realise from this newspaper and other sources, but this newspaper, that people are waking up, and hopefully that they can't be fooling people anymore like they have been. Okay, but hopefully they'll realise that people aren't as stupid as what they want them to be. So, you know, so it does, there is about, you know, there's two or three different sort of like main goals for it. But waking the people up in the first place is the key to it. And that's what our intention is, and that's our responsibility.
Well, I also think it's a good method of making sure that the politicians understand that there's people out there who don't agree with anything they're doing or saying. And don't believe a word they say, basically. And more and more people in ordinary walks of life who are losing their jobs, losing their homes, are starting to understand that they've been conned. And I think people are now ready to wake up. I think the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, has misjudged how people would react to this. And they're now looking for why it happened. The real reasons, not the what the politicians tell them, or the businessmen, or the banks, or whoever. I think they're looking for information, and I think the role of the newspaper is going to achieve that.
Well, I think you're right that this is the time to strike while the iron's hot, I suppose, and people are thirsting for real truth and information in a world that they know is increasingly just feeding them lies. So if there are people out there listening right now who are interested in trying to duplicate something like the Sovereign Independent, what kind of advice could you give them based on your experience so far?
I suppose the best advice that I can give is if you want to do it, do it. You know, it's something where people will talk about it. Maybe we could do this, maybe we can do that, but it is possible. It doesn't cost an awful lot of money either if you want to maybe start off small. You know, you're talking about hundreds, maybe to get a few hundred copies done, printed, okay? It's not expensive as far as software and what have you is concerned. We use an open source software, which is for Linux and for Windows, called Scribus, okay? Because it's a, you know, it's the software where we can all use it. We don't have to pay anything. You'd be paying hundreds if you're looking at mainstream software, okay? So it's not costing you any money in software, okay? It's something that you can do at home. Obviously, it's on your computer now. You don't need to have any equipment. You don't need to invest in equipment or anything. So in that way, it's as easy as putting together a website, in that all you need is a computer, okay? And providing you've got people that can write stories, and when you're putting a newspaper together, people will come out of the woodwork with good stories, good writers, okay? People that want to contribute. You need to get across to as many blogs and websites and forums as you possibly can, maybe phone up radio stations and that, to say that you are putting out a newspaper, and you will find that people will come along and want to support you. And once you start getting support of people, then it starts taking on a life of its own. So it's very easy to actually put it together, in that it's not something that's expensive, it's not massively time consuming, it's not something you've got to set up. You can decide to do a newspaper, and within a week or so you could have a very basic newspaper, and then you can go to a printers and you can just have it printed. It's simple as that. It's not rocket science. Anybody can do it.
I think also, I mean, you know, you don't even need to be a talented writer. I mean, if you get permission from people to use their work, and they're happy to, you know, you put a little ad for their website or whatever in the paper, then, you know, you just have to cut, paste, do whatever you have to do. And you don't have to write the stories yourself. You just have to get the information out there.
That's exactly right. Sources. That's exactly right. So what do you envision as the future for the Sovereign Independent?
Obviously, we're very mindful of the fact that the truth material that the Sovereign Independent is, you know, attempting to impart to people, is going to be under attack, and it is under attack. You know, so we hope to go on for as long as we can. You know, we want to see if we can bring out the Sovereign Independent, so it's maybe once every 2 months. You know, we had quite a long break since the Lisbon, you know, since the first issue. We hope for it to be a bit sooner than the next time for issue 3. So we do hope for it to go on. Obviously, it depends on donations, because we can't, you know, when we do print it, it costs money, obviously. But we donate an awful lot of our time, you know, to putting this paper together. You know, I put 100% of my time into this, you know, when I'm not on my day job. So, you know, like we put an awful lot into it, but the printing costs are the main issue, really. You know, fortunately, we had a lot of people that were, you know, from across the world, you know, who were very happy to sort of contribute towards the newspaper, you know, and the paper, you know, like, as a result, we were able to distribute, you know, nearly 400,000 copies of the paper, you know. But that's not going to happen every time. There was a lot of people that really wanted to contribute to the Lisbon, you know, Lisbon Truth campaign at the time. Whereas now we don't have that sort of deadline, if you like. So, you know, like we do rely on people donating, and obviously that's something that we need to sort of stress to people and stress to readers. We want to continue to give the newspaper out for free if we can. You know, but obviously the printing costs do cost money. So, you know, like we do hope that people will. But we can only see, you know, we can only hope that it will go that way. You know, it's very hard to sort of say, you know, like 6 months down the line now, you know, because obviously if we get no donations, then we won't be able to get any more printed, you know. So, you know, like it really depends on the people of Ireland and the people of the world, really, you know. We had a lot of well-wishing people, you know, who were very, very good. And we hope that, you know, those people want to support us for the future, you know, as an ongoing thing. So that's what I envision for the future.
And we also need some more, we'll need the same volunteers we had the last time to get the paper out there from all over the country.
Yeah, distribution, you know.
Distribution.
The distribution network that we sort of developed when we brought out the first issue, and again, that took on a life of its own, because the more and more people that were receiving the papers were phoning up and emailing us asking if they could distribute. It was really multiplying like that, you know. So in that way, we were able to sort of send, you know, pallets of papers down to Cork, down to Galway, down to different parts of the country, you know, with people that are working along with the paper that are living there. They were storing them, and then they become you know, distribution points for their areas. That's how it all worked out then. And we envision a similar sort of setup this way around. As far as you know, an established distribution network is concerned, we don't have an established distribution network with paid distributors or anything, but we rely on the people and the will of the people, the goodwill of the people of Ireland, to help out and get these papers out to as many people as possible.
So if people are interested in supporting your work, not just in Ireland but around the world, how can they contribute?
People can contribute to us through PayPal. We have a PayPal link on the website, sovereignindependent.com. Okay, so they can you know, or they can send us checks. You know, they can email us. We haven't got anything set up where they can pay directly yet, but we intend to set something up so that people can donate directly into the Sovereign Independent account. But we don't have that quite yet. But PayPal at the moment, and you can send checks, you know, checks or postal orders to us, and you can get the details, you know, if you email us. So at the moment, you know, like we basically, most of the donations that we got for the first edition, 99.9% of them came through PayPal. Okay, but obviously there are certain people who don't like to use the PayPal option, and obviously we can work something out. You know, if they just email us, maybe they can send us a check or something. So yeah, that's basically it.
And if they see us standing out in the cold and wet with a bucket saying donations, they could put something in it. Put my hand in the paper.
We plan on going to some of the events like we done last during the last issue, especially because it was under Lisbon. It was because of the Lisbon referendum coming up. There was a lot of different groups and, you know, anti-war groups and that around Ireland and what have you, who were, you know, putting on events and talks and what have you. And, you know, like we try to make it, you know, we try to make it to those events as they would our event. And in that way, people are also encouraged to, you know, to donate tribute there as well. You know? So that's another avenue. But we certainly don't want to be you know, putting them into shops and news agents and expecting people to pay for it if we can help it, because we believe the truth should be out there for free. And that's the whole point of this newspaper. It's there and it's accessible to everybody, even if you haven't got money. It's free.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that is a hopeful sign, and it's good to see that Ireland is waking up, thanks in no small part to the efforts of you and the others that are associated with the Sovereign Independence. So my hat's off to you guys for all the work that you're doing over there. And Dave Darby and Neil Foster, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having us.